Hello, I'm Mark Koskin from the Student Radio Association, joined in the studio by Hannah, Dot and Dan, also known as London Grammar. Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
So over the next hour, we're going to be chatting all things about the new album, Truth is a Beautiful Thing. And it's been about 4 years since your last album, roughly, if you wait. Yeah. So at what point did you start thinking it was time to work on a new album?
It was when we got back from touring. Well, it was like halfway through our touring schedule on the first album. It was like, wow, we really don't have time to actually be musicians. We're just on the road. So then, yeah, just when we came off the road, we were like, we need to, you know, have a little bit of time off, but we need to get back in pretty swift.
So we're going to be going through the album track by track, and we're going to kick off with the first track on the album, Rooting For You. Your release is back over the new year, and I feel like it was quite a powerful way to kick off not just the album, but the year for you guys. So does the track introduce the themes that we see in like the rest of the album?
Yeah, I think it does. I think that's kind of why we picked it and why Dan and Dot thought it would be a great first song. It's quite different. It's quite emotional, and it does definitely embody a lot of the themes.
How did it feel for you guys dropping that track after some time out? Because I read somewhere, one of you said that people were coming up to you and like some people thought you'd like split up.
Yeah. That did happen. That was funny.
Yeah, and it was. I remember seeing on a couple of forums and stuff for festivals, some people would say like rumoured that we would play, and then other people were like, haven't you heard? They've split up. They don't exist anymore. But yeah, I think it was just... Because we didn't really even make any noise online or put a picture of us up or say that we were in the studio. So after about a year, we did put a picture up and just said, we're still here and we're still making music. But I mean, when we released Rooting, we were actually in Hobart in Tasmania in Australia. I'm in the middle of nowhere. And it was like quite a weird experience, really, because I think we... Just to put something up for the first time, obviously it had been so long, but the reaction was just really positive straight away, and so it was great.
Moving on to the next track of the album, Big Picture, you released this one in the build-up as well. And to me, it comes across as like quite cinematic, quite mysterious, and obviously you've been recognised in the industry for your talents in songwriting. So were you trying to put across like a mysterious vibe with this one, or was there a direct meaning to it?
That's a really good point. I think sometimes our songs have both. I think they have quite an obvious... direct meaning sometimes, and then underneath it lyrically there are like a lot of double meanings and there are other themes going on, but definitely musically, you know, Dan and Dot love film music, and in that sense their music that they make together is quite mysterious, so it kind of then just lends itself to that side of the lyrics, I think.
Yeah, because obviously music is quite a personal thing, so it does allow people to interpret it in their own way.
Of course, yeah,
as your own meaning at the same time. Next up, we're going to play the first completely new track on the album, Wild Eyed. So the vocals on this one sound so strong, so passionate. To me, it feels like you're running away from like a problem, hence the title, like Wild Eyed. Like, yeah. When I was listening to it, like when you get the visual in your mind, sort of like running through a field, running away from something.
That is exactly what is going through my mind when I wrote those lyrics.
Is that how you wanted the track to sound then?
Yeah, and I think it is interesting with lyrics how you can write them, and then it's only when looking back on them that you're like, oh, that's really weird that I said that. I didn't realise I felt that way then. But I think I kind of was running away from something at that point, so it's very dreamlike. It's very, like, kind of in another world almost. It's kind of rather than, you know, facing up to, like, the reality of a situation.
When you're writing, is it quite a personal thing then, in the sense that what's going through your mind, that's what you're writing about at that time?
Yeah, it is really. It goes even deeper than that. I think it's like actually things you don't even, for me, I don't even realise I'm thinking and feeling. And sometimes just those feelings will come out if I'm listening to something. Because Dan and Dot wrote the music for Wild Eyed and then I did the lyrics on top. And sometimes like their music will kind of just connect to something. I don't even realise what that connection is. It just kind of comes out.
Wild Eyed, fresh from a brand new album, Truth is a Beautiful Thing. So how would you guys manage to make every track sound so like unique, but sort of keeping with that sound that you've formed? Because you've got quite a recognisable sound, but every track sounds so special and different.
Well, I think one thing that we've always found working together is that a lot of the tracks kind of come in pairs. So, and we'll go through a certain period where we just write a certain type of track, and we'll often write two or three of the same song almost. And then when it comes to making the album play, like the track listing, then we kind of, that's when you have to think, it has to take you on a journey, it has to have some of all the different vibes, and often there might be one earlier on in the album that maybe connects to one later on. But I think, yeah, they definitely do have some. I think this one probably has a slightly more dynamic, in the sense that I think the tracks are a little bit more different from track to track maybe than they were the first time around.
Okay, so moving on. And the next track that we're going to listen to is one that we've heard before, and it's one that was playlisted all over the country on student radio. So everyone's very similar with it. So Old Woman, Oh Man. To me, it seems to be quite sad in its style and its lyrics. Is there a meaning behind it? Like, is it aimed at anyone in particular?
Well, if it was, I'm not going to tell you. No, it wasn't aimed at someone in particular. But in hindsight, obviously now, like, I do listen to those sad lyrics and I think they now take on a different meaning to me. Because obviously it is about, you know, personal, and it is about stuff that's going on in my life and everything. But then there are other themes in there. It's about sort of gender identity, like, oh woman, oh man, you know, choose a path or a child. Like, the difficulties of being a woman and those sort of stereotypical social constructs that actually affect both men and women equally, I think. So it's about that too.
Have you tried to portray that theme, like, over the course of the album as well?
Yeah, I think it comes up more than once. I think it's something that comes up a lot between the three of us when we're together talking and just going through similar life experiences, and so it just comes up a lot, I think, on the album.
So the next track, when I was listening to it, I was trying to, like, sort of get my head around it, what it means and stuff, but for me, I just couldn't do it. Like, the meaning of the lyrics, I was quite, not confused, but, you know, and you just can't sort of get something with it.
Yeah.
So the track's called Hell With The Liars, and obviously the album's called Truth Is A Beautiful Thing.
Yeah.
All I could see was a sort of like a contrast between the two titles, speaking about lying, speaking about the truth. Was that the aim, or was that a contrast?
Yeah, I think I never know what, like, how much of an aim it is, but it is weird. There are, like, mirrors, like, as Dot said before, like, sometimes songs come in pairs and sort of mirroring themes come up. So they are very contrasting titles that are kind of about the same thing. And yeah, that song is about perspective, really, and how heartbreaking it can be when you have a perspective of something that is so real to you, but other people don't see it that way, or you feel like they're not seeing it that way. And yeah, and then it's also just about, you know, the world, I think, that song, probably.
Because obviously you mention liars quite often on the track.
Yeah.
Is that who are the liars?
Who are the liars? Well, I think they're all liars in some ways.
Yeah.
I think we did go through a slightly tricky patch as a band. And I think one thing that can happen when you're touring a lot is that you lose perspective on your own sense of reality and what's true and what's not. You're kind of, it's amazing, and what happened to us was absolutely amazing, but it can be a little lonely. Like, it separates you from the life that you're used to. So I don't think I really know who the liars are. I just think it's just passion coming out in the lyrics.
I believe the track's, like, one of the longest on the album, like, over 6 minutes. And the melody on the track towards the end is, like, very, like, it's, like, unreal, really, like, it proper, for me, I was proper lost in it, in a sense.
Amazing.
Did you specifically choose that track to have an extended instrumental?
I'm laughing.
Would you like to answer this one?
Well, it used
to be 14 minutes long.
It was one of those songs where, basically, I mean, originally it was, like, a sort of quite a concise, like, 2.5-3 minute piano song that Hannah had written, and then we were working. I mean, we were sort of jamming it one day at my flat, and then Hannah went home, and I just turned it into
home.
Like a 6 minute kind of electronic instrumental with this melody at the end. And then Hannah came back the next day, and I was like, oh, so now this is what it's like. And then, so, you know, so it was like, it was one of those songs where I think, when you're in the midst of it, and it's funny now that we laugh about it now, and it's like and we love it, and it's like a funny story.
It wasn't funny at the time.
It wasn't funny for Dan at the time, who was stuck in the middle. Basically, there was this synth sound on there that I just absolutely hated. We managed to, like, come to, like, a middle ground, but yeah, me and Dot did have a bit of a fallout over the ending.
Right, so in the next one, Everybody Else, you talk about people being on the floor, underwater, under oceans. Are you talking about the impacts that one person's actions can have on other people?
Exactly. You are very good at decoding lyrics. You have a special gift. It's kind of, I think that's probably the most political thing I've ever written lyrically. It is a bit about climate change and just how, I just think how terrifying it is, and how there are people that don't believe in it. And I'm, you know, that song is about that. Really,
because a standout lyric for me, obviously, and probably for a lot of people, will be Everyone Else Knows Why. Look what you've done. And the way you're singing that, it also almost sounds like a monologue.
Yeah.
In sort of what could be in everyone, that no one really, like, cares.
Yeah, exactly. Because I think that we do things every day that you don't think about it. Like, you know, we all got the tube here today, but often me, Dan and Dot are lucky enough to get cabs to promo stuff, and you don't just even think about that anymore and have the impact that's having on the world. So we all do it, and that song is kind of about that.
So the lyrics in Everybody Else come across as quite sad, but there's aspects of the track which to me like lend themselves to like a live show. So on the back of the new album, are you going to like switch up how you perform live at all?
Yeah, I mean, I think we need to maybe perhaps more than we are at the moment, only just because we're sort of beginning to find our feet with the new songs. But I think, like with the first record, the more we play them live, the more we'll begin to explore new avenues with them and elongating certain sections or cutting certain sections or changing them or whatever we do. It tends to happen naturally, though, over a course of time.
So since like the first album, have you seen yourself like growing confidence?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I think when we play the some of the songs from the first album, they're just so ingrained in our muscle memory that you can inject so much more confidence in the performance because you're not having to focus on what you're playing. But then when we're playing the new songs, that focus is still sort of a little bit like, what am I playing? Am I playing this correctly? Rather than like, I'm playing this with feeling. And it's like, that's the key to reach that point when you can provide both.
It just makes me laugh because I can see Dad doing that like on stage, and you're like kind of trying to play the audience but half looking at your fingers all the time on the guitar, like
Moving on to the next track, Non-Believer. To me, is this about, because you're known for sort of like talking about heartbreak, does it appear to dive into like heartbreak in a relationship more than the other tracks?
No, I think it must be about that, yeah. I don't really know exactly what that song is about. It is definitely about, like, chasing kind of after something, like I think I talk about, and just all that we are, all that we need, two different things. And I'd say, yeah, that kind of is a dark love record, probably.
Because the lyric that stands out to me is literally just repeating, don't believe her. And obviously, with the title of the album being about truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does it link back to the idea and the concept of truth and lies?
Yeah, it does.
Regardless of whether it was intended or not.
Yeah, and I think I'm probably talking about myself maybe in that moment. It's like the relationship you have with yourself when you're not being completely honest with yourself, maybe.
Right, so back in 2014, you mentioned how you might want to try and make the next album a bit more happier, a bit less sad. I'm getting a laugh already. You wanted to sort of like steer away from the dark love and heartbreak side, obviously, as we just mentioned. Do you feel like you've done this at all?
I think we did with this track, personally. Non-Believer.
No, I thought you were doing the next one.
Are we talking about Non-Believer or are we talking about Bones Ribbon? Sorry.
Talk about whatever one you want.
Okay. Yeah, no problem.
I mean, I think Non-Believer, from a sort of sound point of view, I do think it stands out as being slightly different in that respect and slightly more, I don't know, slightly less melancholic. I don't know why I think that. I know the lyric content is dark, but I do think it's slightly less melancholy.
I agree.
There's like a slight sort of more throwaway aspect to it, which we did have on the first album. I think
in more of a sense, like you could just dance to it a bit more of a gig.
Exactly.
You still have to dance really slowly.
Kind of a two-step.
You can, just about.
Like the next track to me was quite joyous in like comparison.
Okay.
And obviously you sing about like determination.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it just seems a bit more positive in general, really. Does this stand out to you as being a bit more of a happier track, or?
I suppose Bones of Ribbon is kind of. I'd say that they do, that those two definitely, in terms of where they're positioned in the album, they do have a slightly more euphoric sensibility to them both. Yeah. And I think lyrically, I mean, I'm sort of speaking on behalf of Hannah here, but like it's quite imagery focused, which I think tends to build that euphoria in it, because it sort of feels a little bit more, I don't know, this is just like from a listener listening to Hannah's lyric, I don't know, it just provides some kind of aesthetic that provides me with that. I don't know if it's the blues and the yellows, I don't know what that is, but that's how I feel.
Well, whatever you think is totally justified.
It's just a little bit more uplifting really as well, like that's and maybe a bit like how Big Picture is, but it definitely feels a lot more. And it has that slight reference more to 90s stuff in a way, and that links to the lyrics, and like I think that's something that we did more on the first album as well.
So the next one, Who Am I? You say Who Am I If You're Leaving, and I've sort of like dived into this one quite a bit, but to me it feels as if you maybe when people fall away from someone or something, and to me this track is something that someone can relate to quite often, because obviously a lot of people go through heartbreak or whatever.
Everyone, yeah.
And it can happen quite often. So do you think when people can relate to tracks like this, and obviously it can make people upset, is this a success in the track for you? Because it's fully hit the heart of someone?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely don't like the thought of someone sitting there just like crying and being like miserable because they've listened to a London Grammar song. But I do just think that is the beauty of music. It's like it doesn't, at that point, it doesn't matter that London Grammar have written that song. All that matters is that someone else is having a connection to that piece of art that you've made. And yes, that's my answer.
Because obviously, lyrically, you're very like emotional, very personal.
Yeah.
So when you like do play a gig, do you ever see people tearing up in the crowd?
Yeah, actually, we had this gig in France. We did like a kind of radio gig and there was like a really small audience. And there was this tiny little blonde French girl. She must have been about 5 or 6. And she was like our biggest fan, like that girl that we met afterwards. Yeah. And she just started crying in the front row. And her mum afterwards was like, she just finds her music very emotional. Oh. And seeing her cry, then I was like, oh no, I'm going to cry.
That's very cute.
Yeah, that was really sweet.
So in the next track, Leave the War With Me, you put a lot of emphasis on the word in the title, Leave the War With Me. I can't seem to work out what you mean by the word war. Is it like a collective term for all the bad things happening in the world? Or is it more of a war going on within yourself?
I think it's both. I think that's where like the whole duality thing comes into the lyrics. Because sometimes the only way of describing something that you're going through is by using imagery or words that relate to something that really goes on in a wider scale. And I kind of think it's both, really, in a way. But what I'm sort of saying is that, you know, I wish, just leave all the bad stuff with me and I'll deal with it. I hope that you have a happy, you know, happy life. And it's still kind of, so I guess it's kind of sad again, really, but...
But you sort of want it to act as like an escape rather than the thought process behind it.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, definitely. So on this album, you worked with unbelievable producers, really. John Hopkins, name one. How was the experience of working with these people?
Generally really positive, you know. Fortunately, we were able to work with, like you said, amazing people, like incredibly experienced in the case of Paul and Greg, and then sort of people we'd worked with previously, like Tim and Roy, and we have an amazing relationship with them. And then obviously John Hopkins was a slightly different experience because it was sort of, we'd met before and then we'd sent him the track and he worked on it independently of without us there. But you know, like with Truth is a Beautiful Thing, which I suppose we're about to talk about, is something where we'd recorded sort of a very rough but kind of amazing version of Hannah just playing the song in State of the Arc, which is a studio we worked in a lot when we were writing the music or beginning to write the album. And then Paul was able to add like this kind of ambience to the track, which definitely elevated it to somewhere we didn't realise it could have gone, and it just brought out the lyric that Hannah had written that is just so extraordinarily, in my opinion, extraordinarily beautiful. And I think just added to that, I don't know how or why that is, but it just felt like that at the time and we were very pleased with it.
And yeah, you're right, we're going to be speaking about Truth is a Beautiful Thing now, and you've left that track till the end of the album, which as a title track you don't see often coming at the end. Have you done that on purpose to sort of like sum up, conclude the album, the themes, or
yeah, I mean,
is it just coincidence?
Well, it kind of felt right because it's the same thing we did on the first album. And the first album, If You Wait, was also a song that Hannah written, just piano and vocal. And I think originally, to be honest, we never probably intended to add anything at all to Truth is a Beautiful Thing as well, like If You Wait. It was just because what Paul did was so kind of special. And I think to me, obviously, again, Hannah will speak about the lyrics, but to me, that the theme of Truth is a Beautiful Thing is so poignant, and I think it just really works as like a name of the album. And funnily enough, now obviously everyone is asking us a lot about the name of that track, even though it's something that Hannah wrote a couple of years before the landscape was as it is now in the world. So it feels like it's worked quite well, and it's kind of something that will connect with people.
Yeah, we're going to be listening to that one now, but before we go, where can people find the album?
At all your major record stores and
MySpace. MySpace.
No, obviously Spotify, iTunes, record stores, everywhere. You know, however you want to listen to it, buy it, whatever you want to do, just hopefully they can take the time to enjoy it in some form.
And you've got a tour coming up too?
We do. We've got a tour in the UK in October, playing in lots of places, like where we went to university in Nottingham, and lots of other places in the UK as well.
All right, brilliant. Well, thank you for joining me on this special album playback show.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Would you like to introduce the final track?
Yeah, this is Truth is a Beautiful Thing. We're London Grammar and we hope you like it.